The Money Show. Personal finance.
Well, what Cookie is saying essentially is the South African economy is in so much trouble. It's like diving into the deep end of a swimming pool with a 20 kilogram weight tied around your ankles. If you're a bloomin' good swimmer, you'll probably manage to stay afloat long enough to call for help. But the vast majority of us are going to get dragged to the bottom and drown. That's certainly my sense of it. Warren Ingram, personal financial advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital. We're talking about planning for retirement in a crisis, Warren Ingram. And all of us are feeling downbeat. All of us are feeling gloomy. We're feeling like this is the end of the world. And there's going to be huge economic damage. And we're seeing it play out. Lots of companies are hurting. Lots of individuals are hurting. People who are thinking that they might retire in 5 or 10 years' time are having to rethink those big and ambitious plans.
Absolutely, Bruce. I think it's one of those, it could end up being one of those decades where you know the whole of the financial structure of people's both their saving structure, the way they spend, the way they borrow money for buying property, all of that, where that all changes and it all turns on its head. And I think the longer lockdown carries on around the world, and not just in South Africa, and the economic effects thereafter, the longer it takes for us all to get on the road again. So I think you're right. We're watching. I mean, it's not just a train wreck. It's sort of the whole shipyard and the train and everything else all at once, all happening in rather slow motion. But I think the tail effects of this will speed up, and it will be shocking to a lot of people how much damage will be caused.
At the same time, you can't just sit on the sidelines and be a passive observer of the mess that is around you. You do have to, if you are going to come out of this thing in any kind of state worth surviving, is you have to start taking actionable steps. What steps can we take rather than just sit passively on the sidelines?
Well, I think some of them are going to sound a bit counterintuitive, so please don't fall off your chair. I think the first one is that investors are going to need to actually increase their allocation to shares over the next while. I'm not saying, listen to the show and load up your share allocation tomorrow, but certainly the temptation to avoid risk by being in cash in these times will be real. I think, just even though cash is paying us less and less, interest rates are going down, the temptation just to get some kind of certainty and stability will be there for a lot of people, especially people that are maybe 5 years from retirement. The problem is that I think by the end of this year, getting a 5% return on a money market fund will be a brilliant return, frankly, and the likelihood is it's going to be less than that. And unfortunately, even if inflation is very low in this country, getting 4 or 5% on your money is just not going to help you get out of the hole that's been created for us. And so I think that we have to look at increasing our share allocation, and that that's across the board. So whether it's in the domestic shares in South Africa, or some of the multinationals that are listed on the stock exchange here, but operate around the world, or in your global portfolios, you need to actually increase your allocation to shares. What I would say is, please don't do it in one shot. I think take sort of 3 to 6 months to do that. I think this whole pandemic crisis that causes a financial crisis will take quite a long time to play out. But that's really the first thing, because I think we're in an environment where the pressure on investors to find returns means that places like the stock market and potentially even the property market are going to benefit from lower interest rates. Low interest rates are great usually for stock markets in a normal economy. In this environment, we're not in a normal economy, but still, fund managers and pension fund managers are going to need to get some kind of return for their pensioners, and that means the stock market will benefit, both here and overseas.
And then there's some certain practical steps that you can take? Because unfortunately, what's happening in this environment is that real incomes are being constrained. Even if you are holding on to your job and you're not being asked by your boss to take a salary cut yet, the odds of getting an increase are practically nil. I've been asking lots of CEOs in the last couple of days how they're managing this, and they're doing their best to maintain headcounts. They're doing their best to maintain salaries. But universally, everyone I'm talking to is saying we're not going to be able to renegotiate salaries this year. It just isn't in our capacity to do that.
No, I think if you're running a business, especially with large numbers of people, it's prudent to do everything you can to preserve as much cash inside the company as possible, just as a shelter against the unforeseen that people can't can't plan for now, and salaries will be a big part of that. So I agree with you. I've spoken to lots of company CEOs saying, well, if we're in dire need of cash, we might ask everybody across the board to take a bit of a pay cut or a salary freeze, but certainly preserving headcount where they can, that is a point. But one of the sort of interesting spin-offs that I hadn't really thought about with lockdown was people that for example work in the CBD or work in the financial hubs but live far away, they end up spending many thousands of rands per month on both fuel and public transport or just the wear and tear of their own vehicles, and that's money that's being saved now. And I think that it's something I hadn't really thought through, but speaking to a couple of both employees and business owners, it's one of the conversations that they're having now is to say, maybe we need you in the office once or twice a week, but actually, 3 to 4 times a week, you can stay at home, and let's see how we figure out your data costs and the like, so that you don't compromise your work performance by being at home. But actually, there's quite a lot of money to be saved, and if you are one of the people that's sitting at home, working for a company, it's something I would be pushing very hard now to say to that company, well, I don't want to come into the office at all, if possible, or very limited amount of time, because I've proven that actually I'm equally effective and potentially even more effective from home, and that immediately gives people 2,000-3,000 rand a month worth of savings, and my suggestion there is, if you get that kind of saving on a car, that has a huge amount of longer term savings, because it means you don't have to replace your car every 5 years. You can start to push it out to every 7 years or every 8 years, because there's going to be much less mileage on a vehicle. And secondly, the temptation to kind of spend up and pay up on a car, goes away, because actually, you're just not going to be spending a lot of time in that. And so to me, that's one very big one. And the alternative...
And beyond that, Warren, sorry, I've been thinking about this quite a lot recently as well. And beyond that, beyond just the car factor, and that the car that you have should last you longer now because you're not driving it to and from work nearly as often, and you're not going on as many jollies as you once were, and you're not going out at night as much as you once were. And if you are able to negotiate with your employer because you have been a stellar employer during this time, you've been presentable every time, you've had the 40th Zoom meeting of the day, you've actually delivered on targets, you've been that exemplary employee, there's absolutely no reason for your employer to demand that you go back to what was normal. And it's also a great way for employers to say, well, rather than the salary increase, we are going to enable you to save expenses. So therefore, in this 2020 year, you're going to be slightly better off perhaps, because you're not going to be buying as many outfits to come to the office in, because you don't need as much workwear. You don't need the to drive your car as often. You don't need, you're not going to be sort of eating out of home as much as you used to as well. So actually, you could emerge from 2020, provided you've kept your job and you haven't had a big pay cut, maybe in a financially more stable position than the way you went in, or not?
Absolutely. No, I think it's 100%. I think, if you're earning, 20,000 rand a month and you manage to save 3,000 rand a month on travel, and whether that be just direct on petrol and wear and tear on your car or tires or whatever, or, you know, just the depreciation of your car as well, you know, that's a heck of a nice raise. That's sort of a 10 or 15% raise in terms of what you are able to spend on a monthly basis on other things, or what you're able to save on a monthly basis. So I think it's a very real saving that I just hadn't anticipated. And, you know, with all these new kind of telecoms companies coming out and even old ones that are waking up, you know, you might have to spend 1,000 rand a month of your saving on a proper data line, you know, and getting uncapped data, et cetera, et cetera. But still, that's going to be a heck of a saving. And then just, you know, another word to the employers in this situation, you know, don't be so rigid coming out of this. You know, if you've got great employees that have proven their productivity and you still need them to come to the office, then maybe change their hours. You know, one of the things that we find at our business is our people who travel far, who either need to or want to come to the office, we're saying to them, go home at 3 o'clock in the afternoons. When rush hour happens one day again, if you're home if you're leaving at 3, you're not going to be spending an hour and a half or 2 hours in traffic. And we're going to ask you to kind of just work that hour in at a different time, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. And so, you know, give the employees that have earned the responsibility, give them the responsibility and let them actually prove to you that they can do this. And everybody wins in that situation. Companies can spend less on rent in the future. Employees are happier. You know, they're not so stressed out about traffic and the like, and they're saving money. So I think, you know, we need to learn from this and kind of take some silver linings out of this horrific situation.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd be interested in finding out what people's personal expenditure plans look like, because you should have been spending a lot less than you normally do over the last couple of months. And hopefully what that's enabled you to do, especially with interest rates being cut as aggressively as they have been, to reduce your debt faster than perhaps you would otherwise have done, to provide a bit more of a buffer for yourself, to also look at your future expenses. I mean, there are a billion things we can do that aren't much fun to do, but frankly, there has been no better time to reassess your position in terms of expenses, whether they be in those things that are non-negotiable. You might have to find a new way of doing something that you used to do it, or saving money in a particular way. But this is the time. If you don't do it now, you're never going to do it.
I couldn't agree more. I think, I think we kind of get caught up in life and, you know, I think we end up just doing things because that's how they're always done. And this has probably given a lot of people the time and the space to take a pause and reassess what's important. And, you know, and living at home, you know, with your families and in your actual enjoying your home potentially or finding it a prison, it'll depend on how you view this. You might find that the need for all the stuff that we end up buying is not there, and the need for kind of splurging isn't there. And potentially for parents as well, you know, I know it's a controversial point, you know, but parents always want to give their children the best possible education, the best possible life. But this might be showing that there's a different way, you know, and I think, you know, you'll see schools, I think Kira's already doing it, you know, investigating a different way of online schooling, for example. And, you know, is it necessary to spend 150 or 200,000 rand a year on you know, the big name private schools, when potentially you could spend, you know, a quarter of that on equally good school where you're more involved than you would have been in the past? And you know, is that so terrible for your children that you give them a better financial set up in life, and that the family doesn't operate under such enormous strain, especially in such difficult times? You know, I think there's the kind of non-negotiables or the unthinkables we need to think about now, and maybe, you know, we come out of this better and in a better financial position. But the paying off the debt point that you made, I think, you know, that's a no-brainer. You cannot, in this environment, if you are earning your normal salary, you cannot reduce what you pay on your debts. You have to pay even more if you possibly can.
Again, just to that point of things that were non-negotiable beforehand, there's no way that I'm going to be seen in a Yaris, or there's no way that I'm not going to be seen in 6 new outfits every quarter. There's no way that I'm going to reconsider my child's future schooling. Suddenly, nothing is non-negotiable anymore. In the same way as your boss might have said to you 3 months ago, there's no way you can work from home. Suddenly, your boss is saying, there's no way you're coming back to the office. You know, suddenly the non-negotiables are all open for discussion, negotiation and consideration.
Yeah, and I think, both both as employees and employers, that relationship should be open. People should be thinking about this and talking with each other about the solutions. I think internally as a family, especially if your kids are old enough, to have a conversation with them about what they want to do and what they've learned from this. And then the way you spend as a family, both, or as a couple, just as a single person, I think this is a time to reset and potentially, we come out of this with a bit of a better world than we went into it.
Such an idealist. That's why we like him. Warren Ingram, thank you. Personal financial advisor, executive director at Galileo Capital this evening.